When a medical mistake causes you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! Nathan Segura, Vic Carucci, live from Maryland, scene of tonight's Monday night football game between the Browns and the Washington Redskins. That'll come your way on ESPN or locally on KYC Channel 3.
Yo.
It is the primetime game tonight, Notorious. I'm very excited about it. And you know, Justin Gilbert, his debut to me is something that I'm going to be fascinated to watch. How he does against DeSean Jackson, how he does against Pierre Garçon, I think will tell me a lot. We've seen his unbelievable athleticism, his ability to close on the football, but how does he do when they're actually shooting live bullets, not just blanks out there? Because he's somebody, especially now in light of Buster Skrine's injury, we counted on him to start right away. Now, you know, he's going to have to be in action immediately. And, you know, week one, you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, you have a team that's got Antonio Brown and Marcus Wheaton, who was Brandon Cooks before Brandon Cooks was Brandon Cooks at Oregon State. Third-round pick last year for the Steelers, an exciting guy. So they're going to come out of the gate with some pretty good wide receivers.
Oh, they certainly are. And I am fascinated to see how he holds up. I've seen a guy that it looks to me like he has everything physically to do the job well. I mean, physically, he can handle the job because he's got the hands to reroute people. He's got the length, but he also has some closing speed. When you see him in routes, right? He can, even if he makes a little bit of a mistake and gets behind somebody, he gets to him very quickly. Now tonight is going to be that baptism. Is he going to be able to handle it when you've got accomplished receivers who are incredibly quick and fast and have those moves that have moves? So this will be the deal. And I think also knowing the kind of offense that Jay Gruden likes to run, he does like to do a lot of rub underneath. He likes to get cornered. I'm not going to call them true pick plays, but they do try to accomplish that with the way these receivers run their routes. That's something to look for tonight. A bigger corner usually holds up well under those circumstances, but an inexperienced corner can fall victim to those kinds of routes.
No question about it, and we're going to see what he can do out there today. One other topic I wanted to get your opinion on, Notorious, is Bernie Kosar today was saying that he believes the Browns' offense needs to be simplified. And I don't know if that was in reaction to hearing Johnny Manziel do the play call with John Gruden, which does sound very complicated, a lot of verbiage there. What do you think about Bernie's comments?
I think there's some validity to the simplification. I don't know that you want to rewrite your playbook in any way, because that's dangerous. You don't want to rewrite the playbook. I say dangerous because, number one, your offensive coordinator has a system in place. It's designed and understood and put in place by him, obviously because he believes it's going to provide maximum result, and he was hired to do that. I don't think you go back to the drawing board and necessarily retailer that for the sake of a rookie quarterback. Now, what he did for RG3, he did simplify the language. I think he went off script in terms of how he really wanted to structure that offense, and it worked well because RG3 was able to make it work, but largely because RG3 did a hell of a lot of running that exposed him to the hits that ultimately resulted in the injuries that really caused him to have a bad second season in the NFL. I think you meet in the middle somewhere, and possibly the solution that I still see, and I'm watching other quarterbacks in this league, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, highly accomplished quarterbacks in the NFL, use wristbands. Is that the answer with Johnny Manziel? That's what I keep waiting for, is at some point can you do that? If you decided not to do it in training camp, fine. But I think when you know the possibility that he is one heartbeat away and you want to make sure that you maximize his chances for success against a quarter, if he is, in fact, backing up a quarterback who didn't make it through his first season as a first opportunity to be a regular starter, I think you do something like that for him. I don't know, though.
Can Johnny Manziel just ask for that? Is that up to Johnny Manziel? Who's that up to?
I think it's going to be up to the coaching staff, and maybe in concert with you know, it's Mike Patton, Kyle Shanahan, Johnny Manziel. I think the three of them have to talk this through and decide if it's the best way to go and how comfortable Manziel is with doing that. Remember, he's never had to wear a wristband because the offense was extremely simplified for him at Texas A&M. And as the piece with John Gruden, the Sunday conversation for ESPN, pointed out, that's exactly the dilemma. I mean, if you have to point to one reason why Johnny Manziel isn't deemed ready to start, despite being a first-round pick, when a lot of teams get those first-round picks in as starters right away. It's that. It's that. I think it's that simple. It's either that complicated or that simple. It's simple and complicated because of the complexity of what he's got to learn and spit back into the huddle. And working in a huddle is also new to him. This
totally.
Is a whole new thing.
Yeah.
So I did the Browns know all this stuff going into it?
Of course
they did. Of course they did. And I think knowing all that continues to point to the idea that they felt they had their plan A was to still, I think, go with Brian Hoyer. And like you said, unless he proves otherwise tonight, that's the plan A. But the plan B isn't years down the road. It isn't maybe even a year down the road, and it might not even be weeks or months down the road to get Manziel in there. But I think you've got to be prepared as a team to give him the best opportunity to have success when he gets in there.
And that's, you hit the nail on the head. Have him be ready. And as he says right now, which is funny because he asked everybody not to take the following quote out of context when he said he's not ready for Pittsburgh yet, but he thinks that he can get there very quickly. People certainly ran with that headline that he says he's not ready. But I think it's true. You want him to be ready to succeed. And now listen, Johnny Manziel, I'm not going to put it past him to go out there on Monday Night Football in front of the whole world and put on a show that
out.
Makes this a completely a more difficult decision than I think right now it stands to be for head coach Mike Pettine about who starts for him at quarterback September 7th against the Pittsburgh Steelers. 216-578-0850 is the way to get on board. We want to hear from you guys. It's a game day. This is a rare game day edition.
Call your shot.
What do you expect to see happen today? How's Brian Hoyer going to do? What do you expect to see from Johnny Manziel? What do you expect to see from the debut of Justin Gilbert? Are these guys ready? Is Brian Hoyer going to go into what I believe will be the most pressure-packed environment of his NFL career and deliver tonight against the Washington Redskins? Now, I think he's going to have a very strong game. I think if you go back and watch the Detroit tape, 6 of 14, 92 yards, 93 yards, doesn't tell the whole story. If he had a couple more completions, you're usually looking at a couple drops that go the other way. Easily 9 of 14, 130-plus yards and a touchdown. That's what we'll be talking about. I'll tell you the thing that I want to see is success in the red zone. I want to see a touchdown. Now, if they score from outside the red zone, that's fine with me too. I want to see an offensive touchdown. I need to see one.
Truly. And this team needs to get one for the sake of its own, to relieve its own doubts and boost its own confidence, because I'm beginning to think it's becoming something that they're thinking about a whole lot as a problem. And it's not just because it didn't happen in a game. It's because it hasn't happened often in practices. And on the one hand, you can heap praise on the defense and say that this defense does a wonderful job and tough to score against. But I think it raises alarms and questions about where this offense is and its inability to get there. Does it underscore, highlight the fact that there have been questions, you know, with the receiver position, that they don't know that they have from this receiver position guys who can step up and make plays who aren't named Josh Gordon. And that starts right there, because that's, I mean, when you think of the end zone and scoring from the red zone, who's doing it? I mean, you want your running game to be strong, but it's those guys. And it's maybe that disconnect in the passing game that's being reflected by this.
And I'll tell you, on Saturday was the most successful offensive red zone session they've had yet. 3 touchdowns out of 4 possessions in the red zone for the offense. You had Brian Hoyer on a nice little inside running back screen to Ben Tate getting into the end zone. He hit Jordan Cameron for one, and then probably the best catch of all, which gave me a lot of hope, a guy that I've liked all along, Charles Johnson made a big-time catch of a heater from Johnny Manziel in traffic to get a touchdown. Let's go to Hiram in Cleveland now. Hiram, what are you watching tonight in this Monday Night Delight?
Hey, guys. I'm going to be looking for a couple of things. I try not to get into the quarterback stuff. I am going to say, I think Pettine wants to go with Hoyer. He said even before the draft, even before they got Manziel, he prefers to start. He doesn't want to start a rookie quarterback. And people getting all upset. This isn't anything new. I don't think much of Brian Hoyer, but I do think he's going to start. And I just leave it like that. What I'm going to be looking for, and is the defensive backfield. I watched the games over and over and over again. I'm going to tell you this, and Nathan, I said this even before training camp started, and some people agree with me, some people didn't. Pierre Desir is a project. He is not ready for the big time. I know it's only one game, and I'm not going to jump off the deep end. he is not ready for the big time, even when he's healthy. Aaron Berry needs to step up or get off the team because he was just as bad. I want to see Justin Gilbert. I was impressed with Leon McFadden. And I want to see more of Joe Hayden or Pierre Garçon. Those are the matchups that I'm looking for. And I want to see Tayshaun Gibson, since he's going to be out there. My focus is going to be on Kirksey and the defensive backfield. And I'm going to hang up and listen.
Hiram, thank you for the call. I think your points on Pierre Desir are dead on. He's making a big jump. We know that.
Yep.
You don't make that jump from a very small school, Lindenwood, to the NFL and say that that's going to happen easily. His raw skill is impressive, but it's just that. It's raw.
It is. And listen, he's made a big jump from minicamp to training camp. Had a rough night there against the Detroit Lions. Aaron Berry was okay in that game. Leon McFadden, now Hiram singled him out. I thought he had a tough night, having a penalty after penalty after penalty out there. But, again, this is just kind of the new NFL.
Right.
Interesting stats after two preseason games. I'm curious to get your take on this. If the paces continue, teams right now would average 37.5 holds or illegal contact penalties in their secondary over the course of a season. Last year they averaged 8.
I hate it. Let them play defenses, right. I hate manufactured rules or in this case manufactured enforcement, and that's just what it is. There's an overreaction in this league. It tends to happen, knee-jerk reaction. So the Seattle Seahawks had great success with a defense that dominated largely because big defensive backs were able to out-muscle receivers on a regular basis. So we've got to cure that. We can't let one team have a distinct advantage. Well, maybe the personnel on that team was really good. Why don't you just defer to that advantage versus saying let's alter the rules so that everybody's on an even playing field? And when you do that, I think you have what's called the unintended consequence. And the unintended consequence now is that ticky-tack calls are being made, and I think officials feel pressured to make calls. And I've struggle to watch preseason games where I see these flags going. And I worry about a game like tonight where you could have a flag fest, national TV, and all the national TV timeouts that go on, and you're going to prolong a game. I know it's a preseason game, and even if you're a fan, those listening to us, fans of the Browns or fans of the Redskins will endure, but you don't want to make them endure more than they have to because of a flag fest.
Agreed. And one last point, Chris Kirksey, want to see him in coverage against Jordan Reed. Very strong debut against Eric Ebron. Was actually Pro Football Focus's highest graded inside linebacker in terms of coverage in week one. Tim Onacell, welcome to CBD.
Hey, guys. I got a little question for you concerning the quarterbacks and when Johnny would start and so on and so forth. I'm a big Johnny fan, watched him the last many games I could at A&M the last 2 years. But I do not believe he should start, and mainly because Hoyer knows the offense. Having said that, don't you think that they could inject him into certain play circumstances like options and so forth because he is so dangerous in so many different ways?
Yes, to answer your question in a word, yes. I think you need to have those options available to you. I am not a proponent of frequently changing quarterbacks around. I think that's a formula for disaster. I think you need one steady guy to be your foundational player, but I think it could work out quite well, frankly, if the Browns have a strong base with the Brian Hoyer offense, the base offense, and then have specific packages, and I'll go as far as to say they've already done this, created specific packages that you have Johnny Manziel run and you force opponents to prepare for every week, whether you use them or not, and I think you've picked the right time to put those in.
It's the exact same thing that the San Francisco 49ers did with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick back in 2012 before Kaepernick ultimately took over that season. He was a specialist, a package quarterback guy who came in and did some run pass pressure on teams. We kind of really saw him get into a good groove weeks 4, 5, and 6 against the NFC East. One of those games was against the New York Jets. So we saw him do that against Mike Pettine. He's seen it in that game, 5 carries, 50 yards, and a touchdown. Then Buffalo, this is back in 2012, 4 carries, 39 yards, and a week after that.
Right.
Week 6, he was 4-7, 82 yards passing as they faked him as a runner and used him as a passer. So there's certainly precedent for a package like that. Would not surprise me at all if we see something like that if Brian Hoyer is named the starter for week one, which he will be, I believe, after a solid game here tonight against Washington. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we can come back, we are going to continue your phone calls. Ashley Fox from ESPN will be moved into the second hour of the show because you guys are rocking and rolling. 216-578-0850. What are you looking for? Call your shot. What's going to happen tonight? Monday Night Football, Browns, Washington, the eyes of the nation upon the orange and brown.